Let us ponder this morning the dialogue between Pilate and our Lord as recorded in the Gospel of John, printed in your bulletin. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, JP. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It is not simply ink on paper. It's not dead. It's alive, and it continues to speak to us if we will allow it. Help us to be open and humbled this morning to receive the good news once again. And it's in the name of our Lord and King, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Now, since today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the Christian calendar year, I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you sitting next to a king right now? Would you say that? Are you sitting next to a queen? Does anybody think that they're king or queen of their house? Are they sorely mistaken? No. For us, you know, we've heard that before, or we've seen that on plaques. The queen of this house works in this kitchen, things like that, you know, that kind of approach. And yet, as Christians, we understand that we pay no allegiance to anyone on this earth. Certainly, as Americans, we have rules, we have laws, we live in the greatest nation on earth, with the greatest freedoms. We appreciate those who serve. And yet, there is that part of our lives, that intimate part, that defining part that reminds us that the one that we serve is no longer here on earth. The one name that we lift up above all names is Jesus the Christ, our risen Savior, and Lord. This is that one Sunday of the year when we can really ponder the lordship, the kingship of Jesus Christ. The one who we bear his name out in the world, that we speak and we seek to act in ways that he taught us and defined. And yet we don't always necessarily think of him as Lord. In fact, sometimes that's a name that we just throw out, or that's a term that we throw out there, and we don't really consider the ramifications or the power of it. Lords throughout history were those who had complete authority and control over others, and yet they also took care of those people. That's why they had that authority. That's why the people gave their allegiance to that person, because they did provide for them and take care of them. In an individualistic society, as sometimes we live in. The idea of humbling ourselves. The idea of remembering that we do have a Lord as Christians is sometimes pushed to the side. Yet of all scripture passages, today we look at this one. A confrontation, if you will, a dialogue between a worldly power and the Son of God. Maybe an odd choice, because we know what happened after this dialogue. This was Jesus on the way to the cross. This was Jesus signed, sealed, and delivered for crucifixion. This was Jesus about to do what he was sent to do. And so we know what was happening after this dialogue. There was no chance, none, of Jesus being able to walk away from this. In fact, he readily walked into it. Think about that. Someone willing to walk into this for you so that you could have new life and a whole new way of living and experiencing God's beauty and love all around you. This dialogue that Jesus partakes in with Pilate is almost a drama. And there are a number of scenes, approximately seven, where Jesus is encountered by another individual, a worldly power, and they're defined by Pilate coming in and out of the scene. How many chances has God given us in our lives that we would come in and out of the scene, talk to God a little bit? Maybe it was at a time whenever we were really, really struggling and having a problem. Maybe it was at a time of incredible grief and weeping. Maybe it was at a time of crossroads, of decision-making in our lives. And we encountered and had a dialogue with God, and then we walked away also, walked out of the scene, if you will. You see, Christianity is challenging, worthwhile, but challenging for this reason. We are called to continually be in that dialogue with God. What a wonderful joy it is to know that God wants to continue that dialogue with us, talking, hearing us, seeing us humble ourselves and offer all that we are to build His kingdom, to build something substantial, not something that is going to blow away, that is going to fade, that is going to crumble, but build something that is eternal, to be part of that. Jesus, you see, actually asks Pilate a question in the scripture. Isn't that interesting? Before this man who represented the greatest power on earth, before this man who had great worldly authority, before this man who held his life in his hands, literally, Pilate says that in other places, Jesus asks him a question then. In essence, why are you doing this? Where are you, Pilate? What part in this do you really have? We're asked the same question of our Lord. Where are you in the grand scheme of things? Where are you in the kingdom building? What part are you playing? Are you open to what God is going to be doing and how God will be ready to surprise you and wash over you and strengthen you in ways you never expected? Or will you come in and out of the scene, kind of taking God off the shelf, opening Him up neatly out of that box, just like a genie, and once we get what we think we want or need, putting Him back? You see, this is an everyday commitment to the Lordship. This is an everyday commitment to God, to offering ourselves, to saying, you are the one in charge. And what a wonderful thing that is to do. It's not something where we need to take role, or when we see another believer saying, are you following God today? Are you thinking about God every moment today? No. But we are encouraging one another, aren't we? We are called to encourage and to love one another. And in those times, when one believer steps away, then we are called to embrace them, to welcome them, to see them as a brother or sister, as a kin related through what happened for all of us on the cross. You see, God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved all of his creation that he gave and sent this Savior. And it is at this place right now in Scripture that we see the ultimate price being paid, that incredible, intimate love of God being poured out, washing over all of creation. When we as believers are willing to allow that to happen, great, incredible changes happen in us as well. There's a Christian contemporary chorus that offers these words, you are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time. Think about that. Lord of all lords, you will be. I bow down to you, my Lord of lords. Beautiful words, aren't they? Beautiful words that we've sung also in our hymns this morning and that we've heard sung by our wonderful music department, by our brothers and sisters in Christ who, in their offering, are saying they worship the Lord. In your gathering here, in you being present here, you're saying, I'm seeking to put God first. I'm seeking to offer up this truth that Jesus is my Lord. Not only the one who saved me, but also the one whose principles, whose teachings, whose life I seek to follow each and every step. What has Jesus done? He enables us to face the truth about ourselves. That can sometimes be uncomfortable. And yet Jesus enables us to face that truth and to be able to step forward with a new awareness of who we are, a deeper understanding, and a more intimate relationship with God because of it all. Isn't that good? That's a wonderful thing. Jesus, in this dialogue with Pilate, I believe, many commentators would vary in their interpretation, Jesus was trying to allow Pilate to face the truth about himself as well. You know, this is a human being, Pilate. And this was an encounter that Jesus was having here. And so he was trying to allow Pilate to face some deeper truths and realities of who he was. And to say to him as well, you know, this is your Lord, or I am your Lord as well. And God is your creator, is your heavenly Father. Now, again, there will be some that won't be open to that. But our call is to share it nonetheless and to witness to it in our lives. Getting back to the NFL. Sam Ratigliano was a coach in the NFL. And there was an author that went to hear him speak and kind of thought that it was going to be the same old Jocks for Jesus talk that he'd heard in other places, kind of recycled. And there was something mesmerizing about Sam Ratigliano that he was struck by. Maybe it was his New York accent. Maybe it was his kind of brusque way of sharing. He wasn't really sure, but Sam Ratigliano had said that, you know, he'd handed his life over. And his Lord and Savior was Jesus, and that meant every day and through whatever happened. And as it happened, he and his wife were driving along one night, and the little girl was in the back seat, or fastened in and secured, and yet there was an accident. There was a car that swerved over, and the car flipped over, and everybody was injured, but none so more than that little girl, and she was life-flighted to the hospital. Now, the person that was listening and writing this story to Coach Rattigliano had said that he fully expected, you know, that kind of miracle scenario to happen, that an angel was seen or a touch of God was felt, and the little girl was healed and brought back and reunited with the family. And then Sam Rattigliano speaks the next phrase, and he's fully expecting to hear this. The author and Sam Rattigliano said, "And my little girl died." And so in that moment, the coach, someone who's in charge of many other people, someone who a lot of other people listen to, humbled himself once again and simply said, "Lord, be at work in my life. Lord, I hand my life over to you once more." It reinvigorated him. It strengthened him, and certainly after a time and period of grieving, and by the way, for those who are grieving or for those who will be grieving, it comes and goes. Don't feel bad about that. It comes and goes. God ministers to us every time that happens, every time it churns inside of us. Through that grieving and through the ongoing times of loss and remorse, his faith grew and it became deeper. And he said, "Now I am truly no longer a coach. Now I am truly no longer a motivational speaker. But the thing or the term that defines me most of all is a follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior." This morning, in our time of discipleship, I would invite you to take a few moments to think about this Lord who humbled himself for us, who offered himself for us, and this Creator God who continues to touch our lives in ways of grace. However, whatever posture you'd like to take, if it's opening your hands, certainly opening your hearts, knowing that God receives whatever you offer, and a recommitment if you'd like to make that right now to him through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Receive God's love and touch at this moment right now.